talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Creek talk, talking about the creek. Talking about Dawson's Creek.
Welcome back to Creek Talk. This is Steven.
And I'm Jamie.
And this week, we're recapping Season 5, Episode 13, Something Wilder.
Dun, dun, dun.
Jamie.
Steven.
What did you think of this episode?
Finally, things are getting interesting again.
I agree. I said the same thing. Something's actually happening.
Things are actually happening, you know? I'm kind of happy about it, much to their despair.
Yeah, I was like, wow, they're actually like moving along with story finally. Like, because nothing really has been happening except for Dawson's whole storyline with his dad. But yeah, I was so excited that, you know, things are moving along. Mm-hmm. We just said it, but there was a character in the episode that really, really disappointed me. And you said, was it Blossom?
Blossom? The Powerpuff Girl?
I said it was. It was Blossom. Because I gave him such high marks last episode with the whole
Jack both thing. Did. We both did. Well, we were very proud of him, sort of, but...
With the room thing, where he was like switching...
Yeah, how he handled the situation, yeah.
Yeah, and he was just being like... He delegated, or no, he like just took a hold of the situation.
He handled the situation. Yeah, he handled the situation and he made it work.
But this episode, he's just a total fucking homophobe. And I was like, wow, I hate him now. So
yeah, he's a little bit of a dickbob.
He pretty much called him like a fag, which cracks me up. Like, you're horrible. I can't stand it. So I don't know.
He was like, God, it's like talking to a woman.
So messed up.
You were supposed to clean up our image, but you're making it worse.
Jamie, as like a gay man, I'm not a woman. Just because I'm gay doesn't mean I'm a woman. I just like men. I'm not a woman.
I feel like Blossom was trying to not so much compare the fact that he was gay, but his behavior because of how he was like responding. Because he was like, you know, it's one thing we're talking behind Jack's back because he was on educational probation, whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah.
And I guess because Jack was speaking his mind, I called a woman for it. He's like, God, it's just like talking to a woman. So like it was like a hand in hand between him being gay and also the way that he was responding. And the guy was just making a dig. Like, God, you're being so dramatic. You know, you're such a woman. Like, that's how I took it. Like, it wasn't just because he was gay. It was like a combination. Like, yeah, you're gay, but you're also bringing up something. Like, I feel like that happens a lot, though. Like for women, if we express ourselves or give our opinion, it's, God, you're such a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like for him, it was almost like a double whammy because he is gay, but also because he was bringing up, he didn't like how he was being treated and how everybody was talking to him. And it's like, it's not that serious. God, you're such a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... welcome to our world. This sucks.
Yeah.
It was very annoying. And I also wanted to punch Blossom in the face. He deserved it.
Yeah, I was glad Jack went after him because he really did deserve it. He was being such a fucking prick.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is like, just because he's gay doesn't mean he is no less a man.
Exactly. That's my point. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You said it better than me.
You're welcome.
Sometimes you just have the words that I cannot think of. So, also, did you like Dawson's ET Trapper Keeper, which wasn't really a Trapper Keeper, by the way?
No, you don't think so? It's a Trapper Keeper.
It wasn't a Trapper Keeper. It was a binder. She kept calling it a Trapper Keeper. A Trapper Keeper.
They have the same thing. The Trapper Keepers are the binders, but they're closed in with pockets and stuff inside. It's the same thing.
Me, a Trapper Keeper was always plastic, and it had like a thing over it that you would open up, and it had everything in, and it had like a Velcro thing over it. Maybe they like updated them as like
there's different styles, but during that time period, we were talking like early 2000s, right? 2001 ish. I had that actually. They upgraded them from the plasticky ones, and I actually had one that was a material one, and it had a zippered close, and it even had a handle on the spine. But you opened it up and it had like the binder thing, and then it had the pockets and all the stuff. The older ones were the plastic ones with the little Velcro close. Like, I think I had like a, I'm pretty sure at one point I had a Lisa Frank one or something. Like, but no, I mean, it's technically, it's a trapper keeper. It's a binder, but it's like closed in with a zipper and it's got pockets and shit. They're all the same. All
right. Well, then we'll say it's a technicality because it's just the name, the brand name, because in my head, I know what a trapper keeper looks like, and that's not what a trapper keeper looks like in my head. But I thought it was funny. I liked it.
Look it up. Here they are. So 5-star, they're called zipper binders, but they're like the same thing. Like, I had one of these. It was a 5-star one, and it actually had space so you could put books in the front of it. And I, yeah, so 5-star ended up taking over the trapper keepers, but they upgraded them. They call them zipper binders.
Oh my God. No, I have one. Hold on.
They probably couldn't use Trapper Keeper because Trapper Keeper is a brand.
Well, they said Trapper Keeper.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But I had the 5-star ones. So the ones that make those notebooks and everything.
Look. Yeah. This is by 5-star.
5-star. 5-star makes it. Yeah. Those.
But it's by Mead, which I think is Trapper Keeper brand or Med, whatever.
Well, maybe. Let's find out.
I love it. This is what we're fucking talking about.
Zipper Trapper Keeper. Trapper Keeper makes them, and they're the Zipper Trapper Keepers.
Oh, all right. That's
but anyways, fine. So there's
all right. Well, let's like stop talking about Trapper Keepers for an hour. But why we don't we just
bottom of it.
Why don't we just do a quick catch up, and then we can get into the episode. What's going on with you, Jamie?
Well, I got some pretty happy news. So I am a licensed producer for insurance in the state of Pennsylvania. And when I moved out here, I had to contact them to figure out how that would work. So they were like, well, because you're not commutable distance from, you know, your licensed state, you know, you're going to have to reach out to Nevada and, you know, see what kind of requirements they have. So I had to reach out to Nevada, and they told me, thankfully, that they honored my Pennsylvania license for insurance. So all I had to do was just apply here. And then I can make Pennsylvania my secondary or whatever. So I'll be licensed in both states without having to take the test again, which is amazing because that test is very long and very difficult. So I'm really excited about that. So within the next probably couple of days, I'll probably be trying to get that situated so I won't have to worry about that. So that is really exciting stuff for me. Definitely. And then other than that, anything new? No, I need to do laundry. That's what I need to do.
I do my laundry on Mondays now.
On Mondays? It used to be Thursdays. Now it's on Mondays.
It used to be Thursdays. Then it was Wednesdays. Now it's Mondays because I have access to it, right? My apartment building. Isn't that great?
Yeah, isn't that nice? I literally have 10, it's 10 steps away from me, and I still let my laundry overflow.
I don't know. I guess I just have to have a routine with it.
It's good to have a routine. For me, I don't really go out much. So like my clothes, the only thing that's really in there is a lot of like undergarments and then like my pajamas, which I like, you know, rotate out every couple days.
Yeah.
So like I don't really have a lot of clothes, and it's not even pajamas. I wear a lot of these pants. I think they're FabFitFun or something. I don't remember. They're these like leggings with pockets. They're amazing. I can't tell because I'm wearing them. But
we'll get back to you.
we'll get back to you on what they're called. But I love them. I have like, I don't know, 10 pairs of them. So in different colors and designs and styles. I've got pre ones and the pant ones and the ones with these like meshy stripey things on them and whatever. But they've got pockets so I can put my cell phone in there and like whatever. And I don't have to carry a purse around too much. So it's nice.
Good.
I don't do my laundry every week. I probably do it every other week or so.
Wow.
And because I have enough underwear and stuff, I don't need to.
Yeah, I do too, but I don't know. Like I said, I think I just feel like I have to do it. I don't know. I hate
No, and that's a good routine. No, I'm not knocking it. That's a good routine to get into. And this week has been hard for me because of the time of the month, and I'm just like, I'm very tired a lot. And so it's hard to get out of bed sometimes because I really just want to curl in on myself and, you know, take my uterus out, light it on fire, watch it burn.
Oh my God.
It's fine though. It's fine. Being a woman is fun.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. What did I do? So over the weekend, we went to Delco.
Oh man, you went home.
We went home and we just went to Target and we went to the Springfield Mall and Five Below. And then we went and I met my new nephew, my sister Bettina and her wife Martina's baby, Salvino. And he is so adorable. And I got to see my niece, Stella. I think I sent you a
picture. Oh, yeah, you did. You sent me pictures. He's so cute. Oh, my God. What a cute baby.
Yeah, they're both cracking me up. He was like laughing. Like, I was making him laugh.
He looked like a good baby. Super happy baby.
He was getting, like, cranky as we were getting ready to leave because I think it was his bedtime. But
probably.
He was very
I get cranky, too, when it's my bedtime.
Yeah. I'll give you a numerous times when you're cranky, Jamie. It's not just your bedtime.
Anytime I'm tired, I'm cranky. Apparently I've always been like that. You can ask my mom. She always knows like when that. I don't get enough sleep because I'm apparently a bitch the next day. So
I just don't like, no, you know what that feeling is like when you're like fighting sleep and you're mm-hmm. just so tired. It's
but you can't so, sleep.
It's awful. Yeah, I hate that. Mm-hmm. I know that feeling, and that makes me cranky. I am cranky in the morning if I don't get enough sleep, and I was very cranky this morning because I didn't get enough sleep last night. And this week so far has been a pretty decent week, like even work wise. I was, you know, just I've been being very positive lately. I feel like lately there hasn't been really anything that's been really bothering me to the point where I'm just getting upset. You know,
right.
Things are pretty even right now, which is nice. Like I have nothing to bitch about. Which
is nice. Yay! what a breath of fresh air for
it
you.
Is. But seeing my niece and nephew, and then I got to see Adriana because I got her a Chucky T-shirt from Five Below. Oh. I got to see her for a little bit, but I'm still trying to figure out when she wants to come over. She's like, she's so tall now. She's too cool for school. She's like, I don't know if I can come over yet, Uncle Steven, because I'm making plans with my friend Aria. And I'm like,
be prepared, Steven. Those weekends are going to be coming to a close soon.
Well, I haven't had her in like months. So
yeah,
I just want her to come over for one weekend. And I want Kevin to come over, even though he's older. I literally want them to come over and then we can get up and go walk into Center City because it's not far. And we can like go out to brunch because there's so many places around here that we can go to. And just, you know, show them where I live. I'm going to figure it out.
Just pester them. Just keep pestering.
I'm like, I tell my sister, I'm like, just like, let them know, like they can come over. We don't have anything planned for like the next couple of weeks. So just like come over. But
yeah, it's harder when they start getting older because they want to spend less time with family and more time with their friends.
Yeah, she's getting to that age now where it's like, mm-hmm. I was like, you're not a little kid anymore.
Mm-mm.
But no. she is a little kid because she's 11. She's not like, you know.
I know. It's all downhill, man.
She told kidding. Me she's going to her first like dance because she's in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're going to a dance. And
sixth grade. Yeah. Yeah, I remember sixth grade. Boys.
You were sixth grade too. You're middle school.
Dances, middle school. Yep. Dances and...
So before you know, she's going to be in high school and then she's going to be graduated and she's going to be 20 years old and she's going to be like,
and she'll be legally able to drink margaritas with you.
I know. That's funny. I don't know. I just love that kid so much. I love all my nieces and nephews. I just have such a connection with her and Kevin. Yeah. And it makes me sad that I haven't seen them as long as I haven't seen them. So I really would like to have them, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand you.
But no, actually, Saturday was a really nice day for us. We got in the car. We went into Delco, went shopping. I was like, just remember when we were younger and we would just get high and go to Target? And he was like, I never did that, Steven. It's like, no, we did.
I used to do it and go to Walmart and then I have to go down the blanket aisle and touch all the fuzzies. I love the blankets. I'm like, oh, this is so soft. Oh, look at this one. Oh, I want this one. Dude, I love blankets.
I just like, I don't know. We just went shopping. At that mall, though, the Springfield Mall is so depressing. It used to be such a hopping mall when I was a kid. And now it's like
hopping.
Malls are so like, unless you're going to like a really big mall, like the Christiana Mall or something like that, they're not fun anymore. I don't know.
They're dying out a little bit. Like the mall that I used to hang out with when I was younger, like my goth days and stuff, that mall is like the only thing that it's got going for them is there's like one restaurant and the movie theater, which never used to be there. There used to be a skate park, like Van skate park, and that got shut down.
They're not the same. Everything's different. And, you know, since COVID, a lot of stores closed too. Like walking through that mall, just remembering what used to be in there that I used to go to all the time, which made it so exciting to go there. It's not the same.
It's there's weird. So the many food courts are even lacking. Like there's nothing in them at all. Like I walked into that mall right before I moved. We went to go see the Barbie movie and everything from there. And dude, just walking through it, I'm just like, what happened to this place? There's like three places to eat. There used to be a giant skate park right here. That's gone. Like it's all just a big movie theater now. There's like a handful of stores. There's no food. Like
Jimmy,
McDonald's is
thing.
Gone. Sparrow's gone.
That's what I had on Saturday. I had a
Sparrow.
When I worked in the Macy's in that mall, I used to go where the Sparrow's is. There used to be this little pretzel stand and they sold like hot dogs and cheese pretzels and stuff like that. And I would go out on my break and I'd get a cheese pretzel and I would put spicy mustard on it. And I would just sit there and eat it by myself. And before I would have to go back to Macy's, but they don't even have that there anymore. I was like, oh my God, they don't have it there anymore. There's a Tony Luke's in there, but I'd never eat there.
I think FYE is still in that in the mall that I was talking about, but like they're always having like sales so drastic. I'm like, how are you? Like, I feel like every time I go there, like I was going there, the sales were so crazy. You thought they were shutting down.
Yeah.
But like they never did. It's crazy. And some of those stores have changed so much. Spencer's has changed a lot depending on.
Oh, there's a Spencer's in there.
Hot Topic is completely different. They turn the lights on. I'm like, but why? It used to be all like you'd walk into this like cave looking thing. And now it's like, I don't know, anime and random shit. And just like, what happened to the metal and the goth, like the dark, heavy music playing? Now they're playing like freaking pop music and random shit.
And the Spencer's we walked in there and it's like a box. You can't even walk through it without hitting somebody because it's so
that's always like that. I feel like Spencer's has always been cluttery.
Yeah.
It's always been cluttery.
I remember there used to be a Suncoast Pictures.
Suncoast.
I love Suncoast.
Yes.
There was a Walden Books.
Yeah, and Borders.
And Borders.
Don't have those anymore. They don't exist. I'm pretty sure up until maybe like a year or two ago, I still had my Borders like scanner. Like membership thing, keychain, whatever.
There is this store called BAM in there, which is a bookstore, and I would find random stuff in there, but it's not the same. Their inventory has gotten so different. I don't know.
Sometimes with the littler stores, you get lucky. Like there's this one when I lived in Pennsylvania. I can't remember what it was called, but it's like it's not a big chain. Like they have them. Like it's a chain. But it's not like a really big chain the way like Borders was and Barnes and Noble is. I can't remember what it's called, but I found signed books buried in there. And I'm like, oh yeah. And they're like cheaper too. So like sometimes you just kind of have to dig, but I don't know.
Well, I was just getting depressed walking through it. I was like, this mall is so different now. But other than that, there's nothing else really new. I watched the Purge TV show, the first season of the Purge TV show. Watching Below Deck Down Under. Gotta watch my Below Deck. And I am just, you know, like I said, trying not to cry every day because I'm just so happy.
Well, I'm glad.
All right. Well, Jamie, let's get going with this episode because it's already 10:30 on my end. And I was ready to call it a night like 4 hours ago. So
let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started.
All right. Well, this week we'll be tapping season 5, episode 13, Something Wilder. Aired January 30th, 2002, written by Rita Mimoun and directed by David Petrarca. I never say his name right. Petrarca.
Petrarca. Petrarca.
I want to say pterodactyl when I look at it.
I don't think that's quite right.
All right, so we open with a really cute scene with Jen and Dawson, and she's leading him into the kitchen with his eyes covered. Because she has a surprise for him. And he bangs his knee into the door. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, it was the door. Like, obviously. And they get to like the kitchen counter and she says, open them. And when he opens them, there's nothing on the counter. He's like, you know, for a surprise to work, the present should be like in front of me, presented in front of me. And she gives him like a look. She says something to him. I don't remember, but she pops up this bag and she goes, since it's your big day and you missed the requisite back to school shopping, I thought I'd buy you a bunch of, you know, back to school goodies. So she gives him a bunch of stuff like pencils
and loose leaf paper and
pencil sharpener and a ruler, even though he says he doesn't do math. And she pulls out the piece de resistance. And it's an E.T. trapper keeper. And he's like kind of laughing. And she's like cracking up this whole time. And she's like, I really wanted to go all out and put Reese Pieces in the little pencil case, the pencil case holder, whatever. But I thought it'd be too much. And he's like, I'm glad that you were able to show some restraint on your part. So she says, are you nervous? And he says, no, it's only three classes, which isn't too overwhelming. And she's like, well, that's good. You just need to ease into that rigorous college schedule of napping and drinking. And he says, that's the plan. So she's running late for her show and he's got to go to class and they agree to meet for lunch. This is all they do in this episode. They agree to meet for lunch. They agree to meet for dinner. They have this whole like, let's get together later type thing, which is what I've noticed. So he goes to leave and he forgets his trapper keeper. And she's like, wait, baby, wait. She calls him baby like 100 times. And she's like, you forgot your trapper
keeper. Yeah. And like pumpkin, she calls him like little pumpkin or baby pumpkin or something pumpkin later. And I'm like,
I know.
Gag me with a spoon.
I don't like even using the term baby. I don't like that at all. I'm not a PDA like lovey dovey cutesy name person at all. It's not in me.
I feel like
I will never do it. I think I called Justin baby one time when we were having sex. That's about it. Because I was in the moment.
Chris and I will say babe. But in text message, we'll say baby.
I can't.
Like, we don't say baby in person. It's like text message, we'll do baby, but babe we'll say in person. Yeah, I mean, we have no problem with like public affection and that kind of, not like, we're not outside making out or anything, but like, we're not like ashamed of being a couple. Not that people are ashamed of being couples. Some people just don't like that kind of stuff, but like, we're affectionate. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Justin's affectionate. We've already talked about this. I'm just not like that. He says babe and whatever, but I don't. Yeah. It's just not in me. Plus it just sounds weird for me to say it.
I mean, some people it might sound weird. I don't know.
So he forgets his trapper keeper and she like gives it back to him and he's kind of looked like he's a little embarrassed, like he doesn't want to take it, but he does. And she's like, have a good first day of school. And she's like, he's so cute. And she's like cracking up. And we get the opening credits. We come back with Joey in her dorm with bad haircut guy, aka his name's Elliot.
I don't know what it is about this kid's haircut. I feel like if he had a different haircut, he wouldn't give me these these vibes. He gives me these vibes that like he's gonna flip to a completely different personality real quick.
Yeah, he looks like
or like he's just gonna like murder you in your sleep or something. I don't know what it is about the haircut. I mean, maybe for that style. I feel like Jared Leto probably was trying to rock that back in 30 Seconds to Mars days or something, you know? That was probably ish around that time. So I'm sure for the time that hair wasn't too uncommon if you were into that scene look, but I hated it. I don't think anybody can pull that hair but Jared Leto, you know, 20 years ago.
Wait, didn't you say... No, maybe it was the show. They said he looked like Crispin Glover. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, so it wasn't me. Glover. I don't know who that was. It wasn't me.
I think it was the show. They called him Crispin Glover, and that's who he reminds me of. Like, he could totally just go off at any moment because he just looks crazy. But
yeah, it's like this unkept but like introverted, like I don't know how to describe it, but it's, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know that he doesn't look good in the haircut. So no. Whether that was on purpose or not, I don't know, but it's not something that rocks him. Like, he can't rock that.
Well, this show has never been very good to their actors with hairstyles either. So let's just be honest.
Unless it's Katie. Katie's always on point.
Well, yeah. Always Katie. Katie always looks great.
By the way, I was loving her. She's like trying darker eyeshadows and stuff. And honestly, the smoky eye looks fantastic on her. I was loving her look. I was like, yes, makes me want to do some smoky eyeshadow.
Yeah, she looks great in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Joey.
And like the deeper we get into the show, the more beautiful she is. So like if you compare Katie season 5 to Katie season 1, you're like, oh, who is this girl? No, she's like just, well, yeah, she's grown. Because,
yeah, she's more mature. She looks more mature.
Yeah.
Season 1, she looked like a baby. And season 5 right now, she literally looks like a woman.
She's grown.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jen does too. If you look at, they all do, obviously, but yeah. I have to say, I am so drawn to Michelle Williams in these past couple of episodes. I don't know what it is. She's just she's funny. And I think because I know how great of an actress she is now, I feel like her doing this show was almost like taking acting classes. And she was just like learning as she went, you know what I mean? And she was trying out different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who knows? But I'm just very drawn to Michelle Williams watching the show back. I don't know. But Bad Haircut is telling Joey that Wilder's book is one step above a Jackie Collins novel. He doesn't like it. He says it's all something and no substance. I don't know what I wrote there.
I feel like a lot of authors probably are extra harsh on their own work compared to like others. You know what I mean?
Well, he didn't write it. He's talking about Wilder's book. How much he hates Wilder's book.
Sorry, I heard Wilder, and I know later they were talking. Joey was talking to Wilder about Wilder's book, and I just lost place on where we were.
Oh, when we get to that, I have a lot to say about that too. I think he's a predator. Okay. I don't know how it plays out, but right now he's a predator to me, and I feel like I'll save it.
Making some flirty passes, but also she's an adult, so it's.
She's
it's
a hard student.
To get out of that mindset. She is a student, but she's an adult.
She's this student.
Yes, but she's also an adult.
I know.
So while it's frowned upon, it's not illegal.
Well,
the way that Pacey and his teacher was.
Well, no.
That was a predator.
No, that's different. But I feel like Wilder does this to a lot of his students. Like he picks a student every semester, and this is what he does.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I don't remember how it plays
I'm not
out,
sure.
But that's my guess right now.
That's your guess? I don't remember either. I don't remember me completely hating his guts, though. Like, I don't have that strong of a feeling for him, so I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have that strong of a feeling for him. So I don't... Because you know how, like, sometimes when you have these characters that come in and you don't remember... But you have like this like emotional attachment in some way. Like, I know I don't like this person, yeah. But I don't remember why. I know something happens between them. I don't remember how extreme it goes. And I don't remember him being a full-blown creep. But who knows? It's been a couple of years. So yeah. I guess we'll find out.
I know. That's just my assumption right now. I don't know yet either. Because I don't remember. But you're right, though. When I see his character, I don't feel like I actually, like I hate him or anything, but right. I do feel like he does this a lot with the students. I don't know. So
we'll find out.
So anyway, Bad Haircut is saying how much he just doesn't like Wilder's book. He's basically saying it's trash. And Joey's like trying to change the subject, and she like does that little hair flippy thing. And he says, stop trying to distract me. Stop trying to distract, to distract me. Stop trying to distract me. Today,
Julia.
Wise your ways. And she says, I'm sorry, what were we talking about again? And he says, I want you to admit that the only reason that you like Wilder's book is because you think he's cute. And she's like, I can't, because it's not true. And she goes, and the only reason you don't like the book is because it's killing your mojo with the ladies. And he says, well, that's not true because I have no mojo to speak of. And I said, yeah, that's true. she says,
yeah, thank.
She goes, I think you have a little. No, Elliot. Elliot's a stalker, by the way. Like, Elliot is 100% of like a stalker to her. All the times he showed up to her out of the blue, I was so afraid that later in the episode she was going to run into him. And I was so surprised that she never did.
Honestly, it crossed my mind too about it, because I was like, oh my God, she just, like, the moment she lied to him about the date and that she wasn't feeling good, I'm like, dude, he's going to run into her somehow.
Yeah. That's all I kept thinking.
It's good to see that he didn't, unless, I mean, maybe he did and we don't know about it and he's playing the whole, you know, card thing. I don't know.
I don't know. I just don't, I don't like this kid. So he asks her awkwardly if she wants to maybe eat something and see something with him on Friday. And she's like, Elliot, are you asking me out to dinner and a movie? And he says, kind of, but dinner and a movie sounded so date, you know? And she says, I'd love to go eat and see something with you. And he's like, so surprised. So then in that moment, Audrey walks
in. I mean, I don't blame him. I'd be surprised too.
Well, I thought that they were like kind of dating already, because she met up with him in the last episode and they went to get coffee and stuff.
So they went for coffee. That's not dating. That's just, they're spending time together. That's not a date, though. That's just, like, you want to go out and get coffee? I wouldn't consider that a date.
It's kind of a date. They're getting to know each other.
I don't know.
I haven't dated in years, so
I guess it depends. The,
like, requisite is of dating, so.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I just thought it was very date-ish of them. And the fact that they were spending so much time together, I thought maybe they were like going to the movies and dinner already, you know? I was like, oh, she's like dating him now. I totally forgot that this happened. But I guess that they're just really just hanging out.
Yeah. I mean.
But anyway, Audrey walks in and she's wearing sunglasses and this big, like, heavy coat because it's cold now. And she's like, whoa, whoa, am I interrupting? Are there naked people in here? And Joey says, no. And she goes, oh, bummer.
So, she's like, no, Audrey or Aubrey, Audrey. Shit, I did it again. Is it a D or a B? It's Audrey. Yeah. No, Audrey, gosh, we're all clothed here.
That was a
some shit joke. Like that. See, somebody would have walked in the room, even if I was like completely clothed with another person, and they're like, oh my gosh, are you guys naked? Like, doing it? Yep, totally naked. But like my voice, the way I'd say it was completely flat, like, you know that I'm not being serious. But my response wouldn't have been, oh my gosh, no. It would have been like, yep, I'm naked, butt naked. That's what I would have said.
That's why you don't want a roommate. That way, if you want to spend time with your beau in your bedroom and you want to be naked, you don't have to worry about somebody coming in and out all the time like Audrey does. But I mean, even if Joey was naked with bad haircut, Audrey needs to deal with it, because Joey had to deal with that.
How many times has Joey walked in with Audrey and somebody in bed?
Exactly. Where she had to wait in the library.
Right. Or like outside the room.
Yeah.
On that little bench thing by the window.
Or on the steps waiting, like Dawson was always waiting for her.
Mm-hmm.
So Audrey makes fun of Elliot's hair. She's like, oh, somebody's starting to use mousse or something. And he's like,
poor kid.
That's my cue. I know, he's always like running off, like he's like scared. And he leaves and she says, someone's got a boyfriend. I think she sings songs that, I don't know. That's how I just heard it in my head. Someone's got a boyfriend. And Joey's like, Audrey, basically, your elementary school taunting isn't going to work this time. And she starts talking to Joey like a dog. It's really funny. She's like tickling Joey. She's like, Joey, that's my Joey. And she says, if you tickle me one more time, I'm going to bite you.
That would have been my response. Yeah.
I know. Don't touch me. So Audrey wants to know what's going on with her. And Nice Guy, is he her steady? And Joey says, we're just getting to know each other. And Audrey says, but you like him. And Joey says, what's not to like? He's a, and then at the same time they say, nice guy. Wait, we have to do it at the same time. But you like him. And she says, and what's not to like? He's a
nice guy.
We can never do that all time.
Why can't we do this at the same time?
Let's try it again.
We're gonna like point when you're ready to say nice guy. Nice guy.
Two, three. Nice guy.
Nice guy.
Am I on a lag?
I don't know. You cut out while you were saying guy.
Okay, wait, one more time. One, two, three.
Nice guy. It's good enough. How many takes we gotta do this?
So now we see a woman. Well, at least we think it's a woman because they're wearing woman's boots and a dress. Because you see a little bit of leg. Like
at one point, you see a bit of blonde, and I'm like, it's Jen.
I know. I really didn't think it was her because she's like walking through a house.
You were expecting the waddle.
I know. She wasn't walking like a duck. She's through the frat house, and all the guys.
She's got like some pep in her step, you know? She's like sassy walking this time.
Yeah, because she's so happy. She's so happy in love, and she knows she's hot shit right now. But all the toxic men in this frat are all like getting googly.
Talking at her. They're just staring and gawking and gawking and staring.
Yeah. As the camera shows her like the little bit of her leg that they show, you see a guy and he literally is like this. Like
they all are. Every time they walk past, they're all just staring at her legs like it's like this amazing thing. Like she's literally showing like 6 inches of skin. And they're all just staring at her legs.
They're all like blowing loads in their underwear.
It's probably the boots. They just really liked her boots. Maybe they're, you know, big fans of whatever boots those were she was wearing.
Maybe. Maybe Jack's not a gay guy in that frat. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe they all just are really, they're all closet shoe freaks. I don't know.
Yeah. So we find out that is Jen. She goes and finds Jack, who's playing pool. And she's like, why does it feel like all the boys are looking at me? And he says, because they are. And she goes, oh, okay. So she drops a stack of mail on the pool table. And she like slides off like an important piece from the college to him. And he opens it up and he sort of like dismisses it. And she's like, academic probation, Jack. And he's like, thanks for reading my mail, Jen. And she's like, do you know what the college can do to you? And he's like, if you want to play, play. If not, you can go. And she's sort of just like, fine, I'm fucking leaving, you asshole. Like, she's only concerned, you know?
Yeah.
And Jack
really kind of slipped.
Yeah, Jack's going through something. We don't know what it is right now, because even later in the episode, Pacey tries to get it out of him. And he just does that whole Jack thing where he just doesn't want to talk about it. But we'll get into that. So now we cut to Dawson, who's going to his Viz Arts Boston class. And guess who he meets there?
This too.
Do you remember
his name?
Oliver.
Tool. He's Tool in my head. Oliver Twist the Tool.
Yeah, he's so annoying. Although I liked him in the end. I liked him at the end of the episode. But this scene, I didn't like him at all. He acknowledges Dawson when Dawson comes into the class. So he's at like the top part of the class. Like there's like a...
He's such an asshole. Yeah, it's like a loft area.
Yeah, a loft.
Yeah.
And he's like, Dawson Leary! And Dawson's just walking in and he's like, hi.
Everybody stops what they're doing to stare. And they're like... And I feel like this dude, Oliver, definitely has made a name for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody around him just tolerates his existence.
Yeah.
So he, you know, makes this big to-do about Dawson being there, and everybody's staring at him and then staring at Dawson. Dawson's like, oh, great, you know, my favorite person. And then, you know, this guy comes down and he's like, let me introduce you to people. And he's such an asshole. He's like so rude to like the three people that he introduced. He's like, I can take it from here. Thanks. Like, I'm new. Sorry, guys. Like, dude, I can introduce myself. I don't need you to do it for me. Thanks.
Yeah.
He's please like, stop talking.
Yeah.
I don't want them to associate us together.
Yeah, because even when he yells Dawson Leary at the top of his lungs, he's like, oh, Oliver, right? And he's like, you forgot.
Yeah.
I don't want to be introduced this way.
This dude is so high up on his horse because he won the film festival so many years in a row, like 3 years in a row or something. And then Dawson comes in and kind of takes it out from under him. You would think it would humble this dude, but I mean, he's still on that high horse. But well,
I feel like Oliver doesn't have boundaries either. He just doesn't know what that means.
He does not have boundaries. He has no filter either. And it's very much, it's my world and you just live in it.
We noticed
that a little bit when they are out eating pizza and Jen is there, because Dawson and Jen were supposed to go out and he just kind of invites himself along.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I feel bad for Jen, dude. I don't know how she stayed so patient, because I probably, especially when he took that last slice of pizza, it's like, hello, rude. Like, you.
And you know, Oliver didn't pay for anything.
Oh, no.
I would say Oliver might be a bit autistic.
Oh, maybe.
On that scale, or.
Because he's just socially not. Oh, you know what? Maybe. That's possible.
I'm not a doctor.
That's possible. If he's not picking up on those type of normal social cues, I mean.
Exactly.
Okay. I did not think of that kind of
diagnosis. I don't
know. Well, yeah, I didn't put on my medical hat. Okay. No. it didn't occur to me that that could have been the possibility. I just know he's really annoying. So my bad. But we don't know that for sure, if that's his issue, or if he just is naturally that much hung up on himself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like he's a little bit autistic, but that's maybe. So yeah, after that whole debacle with Dawson, I did enjoy him saying though, like, I'll take it from here. And Oliver's like, all right, whatever floats your boat. And Dawson's just like, thank God, like, get the fuck away from me. We cut to Jen doing her show, her like love show, because now she's so in love and she's so happy. She's like, she sees a present.
She's happy.
That Dawson must have given her. And there's like a teddy bear. There's like little things in there that he gave her. And we get.
Yeah, she's pulling out this like brown paper bag with all kinds of cutesy goodies in there. And she's just smiling at all the memories that she's making with her love. I get it. I've been there.
And Audrey calls. She's the first caller. And we cut to Audrey and she's doing yoga. She looks great, by the way.
Yes,
I don't know.
Does.
I don't. I mean, reading her book, they made her out to be like this big fat blob, and like they never made her feel comfortable. She's so skinny; like it blows my mind that that's how they made her feel.
But, She's just very like. She's not fat. She's just very womany. You know what I mean? She's not a twig. She's woman shaped, not fat. She's a woman. She's not a skinny person that you could probably blow on and she'd, you know, fall over.
Yeah, I think she's got a great body. I don't know. She looks
me cool. Too. I'm jealous.
So she's like, hey Jen, it's Audrey Liddell. Question of the day. She's like, why do guys do anything to get your phone number? But once they have it, they never use it properly. And why do they only use it for a booty call? Footnote, where does the term booty call come from? If booty means sex, why don't people just say, let's have booty? and Jen's like too busy opening up the gifts, and she says, you know, Audrey, you don't have to use your full name when you call in because it's supposed to be confidential. And she's like, I have nothing to hide, sugar plum. So Jen says, also, your calls don't have to be, they don't have to be all about sex.
She was like, they could be about love and cute what? Things and gagging me with a spoon. She's just started rambling about just nonsense.
So Jen tells Audrey that she's bathing in negative energy and she's lost the love and she wants her to find it and nurture it and share a warm cup of tea with a man who is worthy of loving her in return. And Audrey says, so you want me to have tea with a man? And she says, I just want to see you close the door. I want to see you open up. And Audrey says, I'm sorry. I wanted to talk to Jennifer Lindley. And then Jen is like, she's so happy. She just cuts Audrey's call. And she's on to the next one.
She's like, okay, mine too.
Right. Just moves right on. But that was our first hint that maybe her show is not going to go as well as it was. Because later she says...
she's so happy.
Right.
Yeah.
She's not a negative Nancy. And she's not being cynical and all this stuff. Because Dawson apparently is just so goddamn good in bed and good to her in general that she's just floating on fucking air right now. So... Good for you, Jen, but...
Definitely good for... Yeah. That's most likely what's going on. You know what I mean? She's finally got a boyfriend that isn't just trying to use her for her body.
Yeah.
And is actually cares about her. And she deserves that happiness. She deserves to feel that happiness. So I'm rooting for you. I know it's not going to last, but I'm rooting for you anyways.
No, I feel like she's
going to... deserve that kind of love.
I feel like she breaks up with him in the next, like, two episodes or something.
Yeah, I don't remember what happens. Probably doesn't get enough attention when he takes on this project with Oliver Twist.
Oh, yeah, maybe. So now we get a Jack and Blossom argument, and Jack just so randomly just says that he's on academic probation, and Blossom's like, what? He's like, that's not cool, Jack. And he's like, don't worry, I'll make it up this term. And Blossom's like, yeah, you will, because we can't have our noobs failing out the first semester because it makes us look bad. And he's like, the dean's going to be breathing down my neck, Jack. And he's like, maybe you should be studying instead of playing football. And Jack's like, I don't see you studying. And he's like, well, I'm not on academic probation, Jack. I was like, what a dumb comeback, Jack. Like, you don't have to say that. Like, you're not him, Jack.
I mean, at this point, I can understand a little bit why Blossom is so upset and aggravated. It isn't until later that he's kind of an asshole.
Right.
Although I think he handled the entire situation wrong. Compared to how he handled the other situation. In this case, he could have just had a calmer conversation and been like, all right, what's going on? Because, you know, as brothers, they should be helping each other out. So, like, what's going on? What do you need help with? Do, like, we need to do less of this and less of that and get you, like, to focus on something else? Like, have a more productive conversation than to just be like, dude, don't do any of this stuff. You need to get it together because you're going to make us look bad. Like, stop worrying about your image and focus on your brother. So I understand why he was upset, but he definitely didn't handle it right.
Yeah, he didn't handle that right at all. You're right. That's what makes Jack kind of like go into a downward spiral because he's like, they don't care about me. They only care about how they
their
look.
Image.
And yeah, you're right. Blossom didn't handle that right. I feel like that was sort of like a little crack in Blossom's like his facade because, you know, what happens later. But
mm-hmm.
That's a good point, though. I didn't even think of that. I just felt like because Blossom is sort of like the head of the frat.
He's like a leader.
Yeah, he's like, he's their leader. He wants to make sure like everybody is sort of like falling in line and doing what they need to do.
Which is normal. That is a total normal leader thing to do to make sure like, you know, everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're having fun. They're being responsible, but they're also doing their academics. So for him to kind of like snap on him was not so good in his part. Instead of being like, all right, you're obviously struggling. How can we help? Let's get you back on track. So that way, you know, it brings everything up. And it would have looked better on him as a leader. So if the dean came and like was like, hey, what's going on with your brother? Be like, yep, we are aware. And this is what we're doing to fix it. It would have looked better on him too. Like, okay, not only does he have a great house, but he's also engaged in making sure that everybody's on top of what they're supposed to be doing. Like they see a problem, they're fixing it. But that's not what happens. Yeah. And then it just gets worse.
So Blossom leaves. And then Jack. So my first thought was Jack's face when he turns around and he looks at Blossom like, what? Like, why did he do that? And now the way that you're sort of like explaining it, though, it makes sense because he's sort of like, where'd that come from? Like, why did you just talk to me like that? So.
I mean, we had a level-headed Blossom this entire time, mm-hmm. right? Level-headed. He's handling situations appropriately. Like, He's got everybody's needs in mind or whatever, making sure everybody's comfortable. And then the one time Jack like kind of drops the ball, he's like jumps down his throat. So yeah, that's completely different than the leader we have been seeing him be this far. So now all of a sudden we're getting like the other side of it, because now all of a sudden his image is being threatened. So the mask falls off.
Exactly. So now we see Dawson in class. They're like watching a movie. They're in like film class. And Oliver is sitting behind him, like full on like spread eagle behind him. Like leaning back in the chair. It looks I would like hate to sit next to this guy if we were in class together. And he probably smells like that patchouli oil, whatever it's called.
Oh my gosh. The way that he sits in that chair, I don't know what it is, but like I don't like guys that are like that, like at all. When they're like lounged back, their legs spread wide open, that's like the type of guy that walks around with his hands in his pants, cradling his junk all the time. Like, you're gonna sniff your fingers too? Like, it's like that I'm so cool, laid back, like legs spread open, pants half off your ass. Like what's up? I'm a man. I fucking hate that shit.
But Oliver doesn't have that. He's just weird.
He was like a weird combination of a bunch of different weirdo men.
Yeah, it's just uncomfortable for me. I don't know. I'm just not like that.
I noticed that too, though. Like, how do you even try to sit like that in that kind of a theater with those chairs? How?
I don't know.
You might as well put one leg up on the armrest. You notice nobody else is sitting next to him.
No, there was a girl sitting next to him. I think it was a girl that he called out earlier about sleeping with Tarantino. I think it was the same girl.
I'm a sip. I was probably more focused on Dawson, and I feel like the areas where they were, there wasn't a lot of people, so I didn't notice if somebody was, I'm assuming it was off to the right. I wasn't paying attention to his right. Our left, his right?
No, it was, yeah.
That's why. I wasn't looking that far.
So he throws his script at Dawson, and he says he wants him to direct it, and Dawson says he's not interested, and he's like, just read it. And he's like, awesome, Trapper Keeper. Because his Trapper Keeper is like on display.
By the way, I love that Dawson isn't hiding that.
I know.
Not ashamed of it. Like, I love that. I really love that. So kudos, Dawson, for not being ashamed of your kiddish gift that your girlfriend gave you. Kudos, dude.
Yeah, and that shit's so normal now. Like, nobody gives a fuck about stuff like that. You know? Like, it's like quirky.
Mm-hmm.
So now Joey's walking to Wilder's class, and Elliot comes up behind her because he's a stalker. And I wrote,
they have the same class, though.
I know. The way, like, he's so weird. I don't get
it. It's the hair.
He has zero chill, and he's clearly stalking her now. So he says, what do you think about Indian food? And he starts to ramble because he's like, some people don't.
About curry. He goes on about curry.
You talk about curry and naan, and she's like, you are so odd. Like, she's like smiling at him. And he says, am I too odd? And she says, no, I'll keep you posted. So he literally just brought up the fact that they're going to dinner on Friday when Wilder comes up. And he scares Elliot to the point where he runs into class because he's just petrified of him. And he's like, you're both late for class. And Joey says, so are you.
So are you. Says,
you have a good point.
I love their banter.
I don't know. I just find it weird. I don't know, Jamie. If I had like a really hot teacher who like...
They spend a lot of time. Like, we're in what, the second semester? Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're in like...
This is the second year that they've had classes together. She's used to him.
Well,
so
no.
They have like a report.
So they would be back from winter break. So
that's what I was thinking. Break, right? So they've... I don't know. They I don't know. I'm like... They haven't crossed a line. There isn't any flirty anything yet. So, like, this type of banter, I'm okay with. It's a comfortability between teachers, like between a teacher and a student. I had something kind of similar. When I was in college, my English teacher or whatever, I knew him previously because I worked in a daycare center. So I know his family. His daughter went to the daycare center. So, like, that first day of class, it was actually really funny. He was doing roll call, you know, saying a name and he's looking up, saying a name and looking up to see who everybody is. Gets to my name, checks me off, says my name out loud. He's like, nope, she's here. Doesn't even look up and keeps going. And the friend that I just made who was right next to me was like, how did that? I'm like, I know him. I know who he is.
I feel like he told me this.
Probably. It probably got brought up. So like that kind of banter and familiarity is fine. it's the flirting that happens later work. It's kind of like, whatever. But
yeah,
things are different in college. You should at least wait until she's outside of his class. Like, no longer his particular student.
I feel like I would be okay with that if he wasn't her teacher. Because then you're giving, like, special privileges.
Yeah, you don't ever want... You don't ever want somebody to say, oh, the only reason why she's getting such good grades isn't because of her hard work. It's because she's dating the teacher. Now, if he wasn't her direct teacher, just another part of the faculty, like for other classes, that would be different. But their familiarity is starting to blur some lines.
Yeah. I really do wonder if I had a hot teacher who was interested in me, if I would do anything about it. If he was the hot construction guy, maybe. And he taught on the side.
I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I've never had a hot teacher.
Me either. Never. Never, ever.
Never had a hot... There have been hot teachers. They've never been my teacher.
Yeah, I can't even think. I don't even know. So Wilder stops Jackie before she goes in the class, and he invites her out to dinner because, like, something is happening with the Lazare paper or letters. He's getting printed in something. And he's like, so yeah, you gonna come this Friday? And she's like, I'll be there. And then he, like, goes in and he's like, now you're late. And she's like, wow, there. So then she's standing there, and all of a sudden she's like so excited because she's going to dinner on Friday with Wilder. And then her face changes because she's like, oh shit, my date with Elliot. And it's like sad music plays for a second.
Yeah, she turns around real quick, like she's gonna get Wilder's attention to, like, maybe, like, I can't.
Yeah,
in this situation, but he's already turning the corner. He's gone. He's back in the classroom.
That's true. She does do that. I totally forgot.
Yeah.
So now Dawson and Jen are in the kitchen together, and he's got Oliver's script in front of him, and she asks if he's going to talk to him about it because he's been putting it off all week. So now it's like later in the week. And she's like, is the script really that bad? And he's like, not at all. He's like, I actually have a few notes to help make it better. But he says, it doesn't matter because I'm not going to direct it because it's not my script. He says he doesn't know how to direct other people's words. He just wants to direct his stuff. And I was like, but that's like the film industry. Like, you're a director. Like, you can't just do your stuff. Right? Like, you should want to direct other people's stuff just to get, like, practice on it at least. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But I think part of it wasn't so much that. It was just Dawson wasn't trying to jump headfirst. He was trying to ease himself back into doing this kind of stuff. And, you know.
Well, yeah, he says that all.
What's happening.
But I was like, it's called a collab, Dawson. Like, when two podcasts collab together. You know, like, when you have a guest. I don't know. I was like, just do it, Dawson. It'd be fun. So Jen's like, oh, is there some unproduced material laying around that I just don't know about? And he's like, that's not the point. He's like, I'm not ready to have a project take over my life right now, especially since I'm starting to feel normal. And he says he's not ready to make that commitment, especially to someone else's film. And he's like, I know what you're doing. I've been to therapy. I know the tricks. She says, as the girlfriend, I'm required to tell you that when you have that look in your eyes and you've got a twinkle. And he says, well, maybe that's because I'm around you. And she's like, well, yeah, part of the twinkle is because of me, but you need to go talk to Oliver and see what he says. And he's like, I'll think about it. So now she says she has to go see her producer before her show because he wants to talk to her. And I was like, that's because your show sucks now, Jen. And he wants to tell you that it's going to be canceled. I was like, it was so obvious. So we see a shot of Oliver's script sitting on the table, and
there's like loose leaf paper notes sticking out of it.
But Dawson sort of, he just goes, like, he doesn't want to do it, but he wants to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So now we see Pacey for the first time, and it's only been like 30 minutes. He finally entered the episode. He's waiting for Audrey because they're carpooling to work, and she's waiting, or he's waiting for her because she's doing her yoga/meditation thing. I don't know. And she's like, we can't leave yet. And so we help Joey with her little dilemma. And Pacey's like, what dilemma? And then Joey's eyes are bugging out of her head because she doesn't want to talk about it. Audrey's like, Joey double booked. And Pacey's like, oh, well, who are the lucky contestants? And Audrey says, behind door number one, we have nice guy. He's smitten with Joey, but he wears sweater vests, which is the only strike against him this far. And
his hair. Not just the sweater vest, but the hair. Come on, guys. Hot topic of conversation here.
I know. I was like, why are they not bringing up his hair? Also, remember when Dawson used to wear sweater vests?
Yeah, fair point.
And door number two is the professor, the forbidden fruit. And Joey reiterates that he's not forbidden fruit. He's her teacher. And it's not a date. It's an academic activity with the entire... And then they just laugh at her. And Audrey says it could end up with date-like circumstances with the two of them wrapped around each other like squid. And Joey says, if I were to cancel on Elliot, it would only be to further my academic career. And Pacey's like, aren't you already ahead of the curve? He's like, what you don't have right now is a social life. And she's like, I have a social life. Look, we're socializing. And they're like, no, Joey, you're not fucking anybody. Go out and fuck somebody. And Audrey says that she's down for her bedding down with the gorgeous professor. She calls him gorgeous all the time. I think it's so funny. And Pacey's like, been there, that it's good.
He's okay. I don't know.
I think he's gorgeous at all. I think he's very average looking.
I think I'm telling because we had this conversation before, and I feel like he's probably the only young professor on campus, and that's why everybody loves him.
That's why Audrey thinks he's gorgeous.
He's the only one that's closer to their age.
Right.
Ish. They're not in their like 40s and 50s and 60s. He's probably in his like 30s.
Yeah, I would say he's in his 30s because he talks about how he wrote that book in his 20s.
Yeah.
So yeah, Pacey says he acknowledges that he was with the professor and he goes, it was good. Like he slept with his teacher. And Audrey says, but she doesn't think that Joey has the guts. And nice guy has boyfriend potential, which is a reason to still go out with him. Unless you're not ready for a boyfriend, Joey. And Pacey like walks away and he's sort of like, I don't think you want to talk about this with her. And that's when Joey even gets like her eyes like pop out of her head. And she's like, why wouldn't I be ready for a boyfriend? And Audrey says, because they're time consuming things. It's not just going to dinner a bunch of times and getting greasy afterwards. It's letting your guard down and sure you're ready to be intimate with somebody new. Are you sure you're ready for that? And Joey's like, yeah, 100% ready, Audrey. Now get the fuck out of my face. And she goes,
I'm ready.
Audrey says, okay, then I guess she'll be going out with a nice guy tonight. And Joey's like, I have to make a choice. What am I going to do? Yeah, Joey, just... blow off. Actually, my whole thing would have been like, you already committed to nice guy, so you have to go out with nice guy. Like, it's kind of fucked up that you are canceling a date because you want to go to this dinner because you already made plans with somebody. Like, that's how I see it. So right. You fucked up.
I agree. No, I completely agree. The moment that she lies to him, I just was like, oh, so disappointed.
I was
so disappointed. At least talk to him. You know what I mean? This is the conundrum I'm in. This is something for class or, you know, this is the date.
Yeah. Like she could have done that. She could have been like, can we go out like tomorrow night instead? Or, you know, maybe change the plans. Like, I don't like dropping people I'm just all about like sticking to my word. And if I have an obligation, I have an obligation. I just don't like doing that. Unless it's like, you know, both of us agree, like, let's just change it to another day or something like that. But I don't know. It's the Leo in me, I think.
Probably. I mean, I would have tried to find a solution. Like, hey, this is literally seconds after you asked me out and I accepted, I got approached for a, you know, group activity with a class. So is it possible that we could push this forward or push this back just by a day or, you know, a couple hours or whatever? Like, can we maneuver it so both works?
Yeah, he would have been so understanding, I feel like, because he wants to go out.
Me too. She should never have lied.
So now we see Blossom and Jack talking. Jack runs into Blossom, and he's like, how'd you do in that Soch quiz, Jack? And he shows him that he got an A on it. And Blossom's like, I didn't mean to be all up in your face before. I was just looking out for you. You know I got your back. And Jack says, really? Because it felt like you were on it. And Blossom says, look, we'll do it up tonight and celebrate your accomplishments. And Jack's just like, whatever, Blossom. Yeah, let's have fun tonight because I got an A on my Soch quiz, even though I still can't stop thinking about how you treated me.
Right. I think that they probably would have been like fine if it wasn't for I can't remember the other dude's name being like right. mentioning it, because now it's like, oh, I'm the talk of the whole house. They probably would have been fine if Blossom didn't, you know, make a joke out of it.
Yeah, I think it did affect Jack when Eric did turn it into something bigger. And
yeah.
He was already down in the dumps about it. But
yeah.
So now we see Dawson in class, and two of his classmates are staring at his ET binder, and the class ends, and he goes, "It was a gift." And we hear the teacher in the background, and I swear I thought it was the teacher that outed Jack, and the one that Pacey spit in his face. It sounded just like his voice.
In high school.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name.
Wow, your memory's better than mine. I definitely wouldn't have recognized his voice.
Because it was like the way he was talking was like, he sounded like British, but he wasn't British. It was almost like Graham's way of talking, but it reminded me of him. And I think
like old English, but not.
Yeah. I think his name was Peterson, but I was like, I think that they're using audio from that or something. I don't know. So Oliver wants to talk to Dawson about his film, and he's like, I got a shooting schedule, but it's not like set in stone. And Dawson's like, look, I can't do it, Oliver. And Oliver looks disappointed, and he's like, you're the only one that can direct it. And he's like, well, I'm flattered, but it's just very complicated. And he's like, is it the flashbacks? Because I can totally cut the flashbacks. And he's like, no, that's not what I mean. But you don't need them. I think you can tell the story without them. And Oliver's like, you have notes on my script? And he's like, yeah.
You wrote on my script?
And he goes, let's go to lunch and bring your notes. He's like, well, I have lunch plans with my girlfriend, and Oliver just doesn't care. So
I'm pretty sure he didn't even, yeah. Which is funny, because he thought Jen was so pretty the last time he saw her. He's like, you're beautiful. And now this time he just completely ignores her.
Because he's so about himself right now. He's so about, like, you know,
yeah.
thing done with Dawson. And
very self-involved, self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's all about me. It's all about my. It's all about number one. Oh, my, me, my. What I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see.
So we cut to Jen, and she's at the restaurant with Pacey, and she's just eating. Like the parsley they put on the And we get a continuity with Pacey making bread. Remember when Brecker said he wants him to make bread now? So he's making
bread,
and he's like, you know, if Danny catches you, I could be fired. I was like, Danny's not going to fire him. Like, he could have like a hooker sitting there, and like,
he's mentioned it a couple of times. Like, Danny's going to fire me. Danny's going to fire me. Like, why all of a sudden do you think Danny's going to fire you?
Yeah.
Out of everything.
I caught that
all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's like, Jack.
I'm like, something's gonna happen. Something's coming. They're putting it in our heads that at some point Pacey's on thin ice. Like,
oh, do you think?
I mean, he eventually leaves that job and starts doing the other thing at probably next season. So
interesting.
Something's gonna happen. I mean, we're almost there. We're on episode 14 after this, right? So yeah, we're only got like a handful of episodes left until the end of the season, and then we're going to start season 6.
Yeah, we are. Jesus Christ, we are. We're almost done this.
We're almost done. Yeah.
Oh my God. I got to get working on our other theme song.
I know. We need a new theme song to match our next deep dive.
So she tells Pacey that her producer told her she lost her edge. She's like, how could they think I lost my edge? I'm razor sharp, baby. And he says, yeah, you're here eating garnish. So what's the problem? And she says, my producer told me that the shows lately have been terrible. And if I don't go back to the way that I was doing the show before, they're going to cancel me. And he says, before what? And she's like thinking about it. And she's like, before me and Dawson. And she says, but that makes zero sense, because I was miserable then and now I'm happy. And Pacey says,
well, that explains it.
Yeah, he goes, that makes sense to me. Nobody likes happy people. I was like, yeah, I agree. And she says, if you had a relationship question, wouldn't you want it from someone in a loving, healthy relationship? And he says, hell no. I prefer to get my advice from people who are more dysfunctional than me. That way I feel good about myself. It's true.
Yeah.
I want to know. I don't want to know that your relationship is perfect and mine isn't. I want to hear why yours is worse.
Right.
No, I don't judge my relationship to other people's because it's so unrealistic.
It is very unrealistic. Every person is different. Every relationship is different. I just want to focus on mine.
Exactly. So she says, fine. If people want me to be nasty and sarcastic, I just need something that can take me there. She says, Pacey, say something disgusting. And he goes, would you prefer sexist or just downright vulgar? And then her phone rings and she says, hold that thought. And she goes, hello, my little pumpkin. And he goes, oh, you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, that shit. I'm like, who's
that? I know. You know what? The only thing that I say to Justin that's somewhat affectionate is I call him Eloise because it's like an inside joke we have. And we have this other thing where if he says, I love you, or I say, I love you, we both will say, so does Aubrey, because it was like an old joke that we had, like when we started dating, because he was like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So does Aubrey.
You guys have your own inside thing. So that's cool.
It's like something so stupid that we still say today. So yeah, Jen's going to get fired because she's so in love. She's floating on air. So now we cut to Joey in her dorm and she's about to make a phone call on her rotary phone. I don't know if it was a rotary phone. She's got like a whole cord on her and she's got the receiver, you know?
Doesn't necessarily have to be a rotary.
A button punch phone.
Right. It's just a cord phone.
Yeah, it was just a cord. And she hears somebody knock on her door and it's bad haircut / nice guy. And he's like, I was thinking if 7 was too early. I know I said 7:30, but I was worried that we'd miss the movie. At this point, I'd be like, I can't go out with you. I was like, you're too neurotic and annoying. I'd be like, what the fuck did I get into?
He's just, I don't know.
He's too much, Jamie. What would you do? Wouldn't you be like,
I depend on how much I liked him.
Would this
it would be depend on-
okay with you?
That he would show up?
Yeah, like the way he shows up, like, you know, you have a date with him and he's like showing up earlier than you're supposed to see him later to like call her.
Does he have her number?
I'm sure he has her number.
I don't know. Depends on how much I liked him.
I'd be annoyed. I get annoyed at dumb shit like this. I don't like lovey-dovey things. It makes me uncomfortable.
I know. I do.
Don't know if I was traumatized as a child or something. I don't know what died me that doesn't.
You just don't like love. It's okay, Steven. No. I'm just kidding. I love it. I love the affection and the cutesy stuff.
I just don't.
I think it's sweet and thoughtful.
I'm just more private about it. But I just don't like the. This is like over compulsive, like over obsessive shit. You know what I mean? If somebody was doing that to me, I'd be so uncomfortable. And I'd be like, I don't want to go out with you.
Maybe not the like the compulsive obsessive thing, but the considerate thing. I like the consideration. I thought of you, so I did this. And like sometimes like with Chris, if I'm doing something, dude, he's like so in sync with me because he's paying attention. Like I was doing something at the sink and like I was looking around for more dishes, but my hands were
full. Jamie. Right? I literally pictured you at your kitchen sink.
So I'm at the sink and my hands are full and I'm looking around and he's near me, but he's like, he's doing something with food. But he's paying attention because I look up and I notice that there's like a dish on the counter. Like it's kind of within arm's reach, but not really, but my hands are full. So like I made a mental note, like, okay, I want that. But he must've seen it on my face because he instantly just grabbed it and he gave it to me. Hmm. Like, it's like those little things that let you know, like somebody's paying attention. It's not, you know what I mean? It's those kind of things. It's the little gestures and the ones where like, I thought of you, I'm thinking of you. I see that, like, I don't know. He does it all the time where I'm like, I don't even like, are you in my head? Like, are you reading my mind? He's like, I'm just paying attention. I'm like,
yeah,
nobody paid attention to me like that before her.
That's a good thing.
No, it's a wonderful thing.
You know what Justin did? So he brought home this like really nice sort of like sweater or a sweatshirt zipper hoodie thing last night, mm-hmm. with his work logo on it. And I was like, that's a really nice hoodie. And I was like, I was like, and he goes, before you say anything, I can't get you one. They only allow us to have one. And he's like, but if it fits you, you can have it. And I was like, it's not going to fit me, Justin. It's too big. Aww. So I was like, well, it'd be nice to wear around.
See, I like the oversized hoodies, dude. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll wear it.
It was way too big on me. It would only be good to wear around the house. I wouldn't wear it out. So
well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, like I couldn't wear it out. So anyway, he's like, I was like, why can't you get it? I said, like, I got like really like, so what do you mean you couldn't get another one? Why would they only let you have one? He's like, Steven, I don't know. He was like, they just told me I can only have one.
Company policy. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. So I was like, whatever.
They're probably expensive. That's why. So it's one per employee.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. So anyway, he comes
home, it happened.
He comes home with like a bag, right? And he goes, and I didn't even realize, I thought it was just like clothes or something that he had that he was bringing in. And he's like, oh, I got you a, he goes, I got you a present. And I was like, what? And he's like, here. And he hands me this like bag, and I open it, and it's my size of the sweater or the hoodie thing.
Oh, he snuck one out. Oh,
somebody was able to get him one, and he was like, I don't know how he did it, but he got you one. And I was like, oh my god. I was like, thank
you. I love that.
So he was like, Sean, make sure it fits you, and it did. And I was like, I love it. Like hoodie.
That's sweet. That's so sweet. Tell him I said good job.
So I was like,
making magic happen.
Anyway, so yeah, I thought that was nice. So Joey tells Elliot that she was just about to call him, and he's like, is everything okay? And she's like, everything's fine. I'm just starting to get like my throat scratchy. And his whole face just drops because he knows what's going to be said. And she just basically says, like, I just don't want to get you sick. I just don't think I should go out tonight. It's the shittiest excuse to cancel on somebody. And he's like, okay, well, I hope you get some rest and take fluids, and we'll just do it again some other time. And she's like, absolutely. Like, she totally looks perfectly normal. And he leaves, and she goes and lays down on her bed, pondering the life choices she's making now, because she's so depressed that she like just canceled on this kid.
Yeah,
but she's not gonna be depressed for long.
No.
So now we cut to Jen. She's in Dawson's bed in the attic bedroom, and she's looking at all these like porno magazines to make her angry. And Dawson comes up, and he's like, those aren't mine. And she's like, I lost my edge, I'm about to lose my show, and it's all your fault. And he's like, how? She's like, because you made me happy, and now I'm boring. I'm happy and boring. And are you proud of yourself? And he's like, you look so cute with a penthouse in your lap.
I thought he said penis. Not gonna lie, I was like, penis in your lap. And then I looked at like when they panned her, when they shifted the camera back to her, and you could see the magazine on her lap. I'm like, there's no penis there. It's just words. I had to do a double check. I was like, penis. You look so cute with a penis in your lap. What?
And the other thing,
words I never thought I'd hear Dawson say.
She spent all this money on like porno mags and pornos. Cause even at one point she's holding like a big box of pornos. It's weird.
Maybe she got them from where she works.
Maybe.
Maybe they got magazines, not just records and CD players. Who knows? She got them from one of the creepoids she works with. I need porno magazines to get my edge back. Her boss was like, here you go, make it happen.
Because I don't feel like Dawson even would own a porno.
No. He'd probably more likely to own a Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, I agree. So he tells her that Oliver wants to go to dinner, and she's annoyed because she's like, you spent all day with him. Like, we didn't go to lunch. You canceled my lunch. Now you want to go to dinner with him? He says that we haven't gone through the whole script. And she's like, you're going to do the movie? And he's like, I'm not sure. I haven't made up my mind. And she's like, well, I don't understand why he has to come to dinner with us then. And he's like, I'll tell him no, and we can just go. And she's like, no, it's fine. And then Oliver pops up from the stairwell, and he's like, I told you she wouldn't mind. And again, I wrote, Oliver has zero boundaries. Because if he fucking did that to me, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my room. Like, you don't.
Yeah, he's got serious boundary issues. He definitely does. And he's eavesdropping now.
It's creepy.
It's not classy, sir.
He's like,
you were told to wait downstairs. You wait downstairs. You're not even in a familiar place that you've been to before. You're in a stranger's home. You don't know these people like that. You can't just walk in and, honey, I'm home. Let me just help myself to whatever floor you're on and roam around your house. I'd be so awkward. I'd be waiting by the front door patiently or sitting on the edge of the couch or the chair waiting. Like, that's where I would be. Awkward. I would be fucking awkward. This guy's got like no boundaries, no filters, no social cue understandings. He might be autistic.
Maybe.
It's possible.
So Jack's at the bar and he's already drinking and a waitress comes up to him and she's like, starting early, aren't you? And he's like, shut the fuck up. I'm going to drink whatever the fuck I want.
And I mean, how old is he too that he's drinking?
They're at Civilization. They're at Pace.
Right.
So they're serving him and they're all students, which makes no sense to me. He's not.
Yeah, I was very confused because some of the older college kids, okay, I get it. Like his upperclassmen or whatever, but like he's a freshman.
Unless Pacey was okaying it, but he could have gotten down.
Pacey can get in real big trouble. Maybe that's what it is. He's letting too much stuff slide while boss man's away. You're going to get me fired, man. You're going to get me fired because you're going to bring too much attention on all the shit that's happening here.
Right. So at this point, this is when Eric comes up to him. And Eric tells the waitress to cut him some slack because he's had a rough week. And Eric mentions that everyone knows about Jack's probation and how Blossom ripped him a new one. And he says, you know, it's hard to keep a secret amongst brothers. And Jack's like, well, it sounds like you're talking trash. And he's like, so it's a conditional brotherhood now. And Eric says, don't worry, we'll still like you, even if you're a little stupid. We'll use fewer syllables around you. And then he like laughs and walks away. He's being like such a dick, but he was being such a dick, but I didn't think he was being that nasty. He was being like kind of funny.
Yeah.
I think he's a freshman like Jack, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
I think he is. Remember with the room change? He was like, why is Blossom rooming with a freshman?
True. Yeah, no, you're right. They would have teamed the freshies up together. So he probably is.
So Jack's like pissed off and he tells the waitress or the bartender, he's like, hey, give me another one. Like, he's so mean. So now we see Wilder and the group leaving dinner and him and Joey walk off because she's going back to the dorm. And he's like, that's exactly where I'm headed, to your dorm. And now they're just like talking about his book because that's all he wants to talk about is his book. And she's like, I thought it was honest and complex. Maybe not complex, but riveting. So Wilder does this thing where he's constantly putting down his work because he wants her to like praise him, like to keep praising him because he's like a narcissist. It's like a trick that he does. I can't explain it. It's like, that's what he does when he finds like a young girl in his class who idolizes him and like gets them to read his book and pretends like it's total garbage, but you know, they
it's like an attention thing. I'm gonna knock it down so you can tell me how good it is.
Yeah, exactly. He's just a douchebag. I don't like him. So then we cut to Dawson and Jen and Oliver. They're out to dinner having pizza. Things are not going well because they're like, Oliver and Dawson are just like talking to each other about the script. And Jen can't get a word in. And that's when he like steals the piece of pizza. And she's pissed off about it. And then we cut back to Joey and Wilder. And they're still talking about the book. And she's like, well, what about the girl in the book? It's not how I pictured her at all. And he's like, you pictured who? And she goes, your wife. And he's like, I don't have a wife. She's like, I remember you told me you had a wife and a kid. And he's like, oh, I don't remember that. He says, usually I use the wife and kid bit to get out of things that I don't want to do. And she goes, you're serious? So you just lie? And he's like, I don't lie. I create characters. I was like, no, sir, that is lying.
Okay.
However you want to see it, Wilder.
I mean, I I can like kind of understand why somebody who would get that much attention from female students would say, I have a family, back off. So like, I'm not mad about that, to be honest. Because if you're constantly getting a bunch of unwanted attention, then saying something like that doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? Like, I've said shit like that. Like, parents have said shit like that. Like unwanted attention. And then they pull a friend over. This is my girlfriend. Like, we're in a relationship. Leave us alone. You know what I mean? Or, no, I have a boyfriend. So don't bother me. I'm married. You know, don't bother me. So I'm not even mad about him saying something like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad either. I don't know why, like, so surprised at it, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, me either. Maybe because they kind of grown closer.
Yeah.
In, like, this friendship thing that's going on. Yeah, so she's like, oh, you kept that from me type deal. But coming from how the first time they met and how he had that line of girls coming out the door, like, trying to get into or out of class or talk to him or whatever, I can understand him being like, oh, great. Like, I ran into another student. You sure you want to drop this class? Whatever. And then, like, no, I got to go. My wife and kid are waiting for me. Like, that's usually when you tell something, like, there's enough for females to kind of back off. Maybe, unless you're a hoe. I don't know. But, like, I'm not mad about it at all.
So she's like, so was the girl in the book real? And he says that she was. And she's like, well, why did you break up? And he says, because she was crazy, which is exactly what you want when you're 21. You stop wanting that as you get older. And she says, well, what do you want when you get older? And he says, coffee. You want to get some coffee? And she's like, I would love to get some coffee, Wilder. It cuts back to Oliver and Dawson. They're still arguing. And so Oliver just fires Dawson. And I said, Oliver's crazy. So Jen's just looking at Dawson. And it looks like a light bulb just went off over her head. Like, she's like really mad at Dawson right now, because later she's like, we were spending our time together. This is the only time we have together. And I'm sitting here not even being able to talk. And you're just arguing back and forth with this guy. So she's pissed. So Wilder and Joey are walking, and she's like, he asked her about the story about a certain boy that she wrote and what happened with him. And she's like, well, nothing. He met someone else, or re-met her, as the case may be, but we're over. What can you do? And he's like, start dating, I guess. And she says, I'm trying to, but it's hard. It takes all this energy and effort, and you have no way of knowing that it's going to be worth it in the end. And she's like, what's the point? And he says, no point. You should quit and join a convent. You look good in a habit. And she's like, you think I'm kidding, but that's a very appealing notion. And he says, and give up all those first crush butterflies? Never. And she goes, yeah, but the butterflies never seem to accompany the right people. The nice guys who are right for you, they never make your stomach flip-flop. And he says, so who gives you flip-flops, Joey Potter? She goes,
the wrong guy.
People who shouldn't.
Dun, dun, dun.
And she's just, oh, okay. So this is when they kiss, right? Did you think this was like an awkward kiss?
Yes. Yeah. It was like a weird, like, they weren't actually kissing. They were kissing the sides of each other's mouths.
Well, she, yeah.
So like, it wasn't like a real kiss.
No, she like was staring at him, and they didn't show his, well, they showed him for a second, and he sort of looked away from her for a minute, and then they cut back to her, and she stopped, and it was almost like they yelled go, like action, and she was like, she like started.
She was waiting for her cue. Yeah. The whole thing was just an awkward situation. There was like this weird hesitation, and then it was like this side mouth kiss. Maybe they were just uncomfortable being that close, but it was part of the script, so they had to kind of like make it work. But yeah. I don't know. It was awkward. We could have done without it.
They really didn't want to kiss each other.
No.
But she sort of like stops herself and pulls away because she's like freaked out a little bit.
Yeah.
So then she gets up and he goes, oh, I'm going to go to prison, aren't I? And she's like,
she's not underage.
So she's like, I think we can leave the feds out of this one. She's like, I think I might have been an accomplice. So he's acting like frazzled, and she's like kind of put, she's like kind of together about it. So she's like, I'm going to go back to my dorm. And he's like, right, you go to your house, I'll go back to mine. And she's like, my dorm, I'm going to go back to my dorm. And he's like, and I'll go back to my house. She's like, good night, professor. And he tells her good night. And she starts to walk away. And he's just sitting there still on the bench. And she sort of like, you see her sort of like turn around and look at him again. But I felt like it was all fake. I felt like it was just fake the way he was acting.
Yeah, it wasn't. The whole thing was just awkward. I wasn't buying it.
Mm-mm. Did you like the green screen?
I'm not buying what they're selling, man.
Did you like the green screen background with the college and stuff?
I wasn't even paying attention to it. I was more looking at him going, oh no, what did I do? Like his regret.
So now we cut to Jack and he's not wasted. He's like a little drunk. And Blossom goes over and he tries to help him. And Jack's like, your concern for me is touching. It makes me want to cry. And he's like, what the fuck is your problem now, Jack? And then Eric comes over and Jack says, you don't care about my troubles. You care about how it affects the house. And Blossom says, yeah, damn straight, Jack. And Jack says, that's how it's going to be now. And he's like, that's how it's always been, Jack. And he tells Jack, don't be getting all emotional on me now. Your eyes welling up and whatnot. And he goes, look, it's like talking to a chick. And Jack hears him and he walks over to him and he's like, he throws the bar stool out of the way. And he's like, you want to say that to my face? And Blossom's like, take a step back, Jack. And Eric's like, Jack, he's only messing with you. And he's like, yeah, you would take a side. So then Pacey and Audrey come over because
it doesn't help that he's intoxicated. Like drinking definitely muddles your reactions.
Yeah, and he's like upset now. So Pacey and Audrey come over because they hear the commotion. So Jack says, I can't believe what a jackass you are. And Blossom tells him that he's been a disappointment all around. You're supposed to help us clean up our image, and you've done nothing but make it worse. It wasn't even worth bringing you into the house. And Pacey grabs Jack, and somebody tries to grab Blossom, but Blossom hits Jack in the stomach. There's just a scuffle, and they're fighting, and Jack yells at Pacey to get off of him. And then Jack hits the glass on the bar and it shatters and his hand gets cut and it's all bloody.
Pacey's got a really quick reaction time with this too. Do you notice that? Like Pacey's separating them and then Jack cuts himself and Pacey's already got his arm and is reaching for a towel while keeping the men separated. Like Pacey's the real MVP.
Yes, he's the only one.
And then he's passing Jack off over to Audrey Audrey, while he's handling everything else. And he's like, what's happening? Like, wasn't he just in the kitchen? Where did he come from?
The kitchen, it's an open kitchen. So he saw everything happening.
Yeah.
I also appreciated Busy Phillips' reaction shot where when Jack cuts his hand, it looked legit real. So I can only imagine how many times.
She handled it well too.
So they all leave and they don't even like ask him if he's okay. They just leave. And they're like, let's get out of here. Let's leave this homo by himself. And Jack's just like, I can't believe this. So Joey comes home to her dorm and she arrives to a care package, which is nice. It's also sweet.
Yeah.
But the card
is very sweet.
The handmade card Elliot left was very gay. I'm sorry. I think Elliot needs to find himself. I think Elliot needs to figure out himself and who he is in college because I don't think he really likes girls. I think he wants to be Joey's friend, to be honest.
I feel like Elliot hasn't had a lot.
No straight man would ever make a handmade card like that and send Joey a care package. They would be like, fuck her, I'm moving on to the next person. Sorry.
At their age, yes. And I kind of wonder if Elliot doesn't have a lot of experience with dating and girls, so he's got a very elementary view on how things are supposed to go.
And he's a homosexual.
Whatever. Everybody's a homosexual.
Could be. So she's like, oh my God. Like, she's like, She got NyQuil. She got like 8 different bottles of NyQuil. Like,
he got all his bases covered. He didn't know what she was sick with or what she needed, so he just was like, "I'll buy everything."
Yeah,
it's very sweet.
It was like $100 gift bag of like medicine.
Yeah, of like your medicine cabinet. He literally bought the whole pharmacy.
I know, it was funny. And the construction paper that he bought to make the card. I mean, the different. And he probably bought like a professional.
He was feeling crafty. Maybe he likes crafts. I don't know.
He was watching a lot of Rosie O'Donnell at the time. I remember during that time, Rosie O'Donnell did like a lot of arts and crafts on her show.
Right.
Again, homosexual. So it's the next day and Dawson goes to talk to Jen and he's like, I could have handled last night better.
She's like, you think?
Yeah. But he's just talking about himself. He just keeps talking about himself and like him and Oliver. And Jen's getting annoyed. So he's like, are you mad at me? And she's like, congrats to you. I've only been pissed at you since last night. And she lets him know that he ditched her on her lunch date. Then he invited Dennis the Menace to dinner, which is totally infringing on our personal time, which is precious, don't you think? You let that loudmouth weasel treat me like I'm a piece of arm candy. Neither one of you listened to a single thing that I had to say. And she says, I'm completely right about that first sex scene. It's gratuitous, and it's just a way for Oliver to look at a pair of boobs in the flesh. Why don't you give him $20 and tell him to go get a lap dance? He's like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, oh my God, it's back. I gotta go. And he's like, what? And she gives him a kiss and she's like, I forgive you. And she leaves. So she's got like her mojo back for the show because she's so pissed off.
Yeah, she's super excited about it too. She's like, it's back.
So Joey comes home to find Audrey doing a handstand. She's like, I did it. I'm a yogi master. I'm centered and balanced. Nothing can penetrate my inner source of calm. And she says, Audrey, I kissed Wilder last night and I just dumped nice guy. And Audrey falls over. She says, well, Elliot and I technically were going out, so I didn't really technically dump him, but I did give him back his NyQuil. And she's like, let's rewind to the kiss. What happened? And was there tongue involved? And she's like, we kissed. I pulled away. End of story. Every other girl on campus probably would have slept with him. And Audrey says, so you're saying you wanted to sleep with him? She's like, I don't know. All I know is I didn't want to stop kissing him. So Audrey says, so why did you? And she always says, because I freaked out. I got scared like I always do. And Audrey says,
also the big ick factor.
What?
I said, and also the big ick factor.
What is that?
I mean, it's your teacher.
You were just okay with it earlier. Like, what are you talking about?
No, I would have been okay with it if they weren't students. I'm okay with their friendship. Oh. But them crossing that line while she's still like his pupil.
But you kept saying she's an adult.
They are an adult, but she's still under him.
Okay, that was my point. You weren't agreeing with me, though.
Well,
I felt like we were disagreeing on that whole thing, but...
No, I agree with you. It's because they're still the thing. That's why I was saying earlier, like, if they would have waited until after she was outside of his class, and he was no longer her teacher,
right?
Then it's whatever, because she's an adult, he's an adult, it's fine. But like right now, no.
Right. I don't think that they should be like hooking up. I think it's weird.
Agreed.
Okay. We're on the same page.
Finally.
It only took the whole like time we did this episode. So she's like, I got scared like I always do. And Audrey says, it's okay. That happens. And Joey says, but I'm sick of it. I came to Worthington to become a different person, but my stupid life just followed me here. And she's like, I'm trapped. I can't quite wipe the slate clean because I can't pretend to be somebody new because everybody knows me here. I'm like, Joey, not everybody knows you there. Like, you're not that popular. And Audrey says, well, why do you have to be somebody new? If you weren't you, we might not be friends. She says, there are these opportunities that keep presenting themselves to you. You just need to seize them and stop wasting your time wishing that you were somebody else. She says, grab hold of what you have coming to you because you never know when it's going to come your way again. And she goes, so.
See, that's like, so Buffy says something like that to Willow in like one of the early seasons of Buffy. And she's like, seize the day because tomorrow you might be dead.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck. Just do it. Fuck your professor.
YOLO, guys.
Fuck your gorgeous professor. Anyway, so she's like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a good kisser was he? And Joey's like, 20. It was good.
It didn't look good.
Oh, it was like such a, it wasn't even an open mouth kiss. They like just gave
it was weird side mouth kiss. Like they didn't know where their lips were.
Yeah, it wasn't, I was like a 2?
A negative 2.
I mean, it was exciting for her, I guess, but at the same time, like there was really no action.
Chemistry.
I don't think he would even get fired for this. They call him.
Well, that's debatable.
Maybe you can get suspended, but that's about it. So Jen's back to her old self doing her show, blah, blah, blah. It was a fast scene. And Pacey's at the restaurant. Jack comes in and he's all like sullen and mad and depressed. And he gives Pacey money and he's like, here's half of what I owe you. I'll give you the rest for the damages. I was like, they would have insurance. You wouldn't have to pay for any of this stuff. Pacey's like, you know, you could have got me fired. So you want to talk about it? Whatever it is that's making you do this to yourself? And Jack's like, he doesn't want to talk about it. And Pacey says,
just leave me alone.
You know, Jack's like being such a baby. So Pacey wants to know what his deal is, why he's flunking out of school, why he's drinking like he's got a death wish, why he wants to be around people who beat the shit out of him and leave him bleeding. And Jack's like, they didn't leave me. They didn't do anything wrong. And he's like, you were bleeding and 12 of your friends left you here. Like, they didn't even see how you were. Like, how? Why would you want to be around those people? And he's like, you don't even get it, Pacey. I'm out of here. And he, like, makes that face and he runs away. So Pacey's like, whatever, Jack.
Don't get my life. You don't know my life.
And Pacey's like, Pacer. And Pacey was like, I understand. I understand what's happening, but like, talk to me. I'm your friend, you know?
Yeah.
I'm holding it in. But
if anybody can relate to it, it's probably Pacey. Even though he's not gay, Pacey went through a lot of like judgment and school education issues. And
well, yeah, that's what he has. But
yeah,
I don't think this even has to, right now, the issue with Jack, I don't think it has anything to do with his sexuality. It has everything to do with his academics and
him. Academics and wanting to fit in.
Yeah.
And be normal.
And him feel a little bit, maybe.
Mm.
Okay, so now we cut to Dawson, and he apologizes to Oliver because he says he went a little overboard. And he says, part of me thinks I was trying to sabotage the whole thing. And Oliver's like, yeah, well, it worked. And Dawson's like, you know, I got excited when I read your scripts. And I didn't want to get excited because I'm trying to feel as little as possible. And he says, it probably doesn't make any sense to you. And Oliver's like, no, it makes perfect sense. You were afraid. Okay, so I really liked what Oliver said to him in this scene because it was very smart and it made a lot of sense to me. He says, you're afraid that the upswing of throwing yourself into a new project would inevitably produce a downswing when you finished it. And you're probably tired of feeling down, plus the guilt that comes with doing something that might make you feel good when you're supposed to be dealing with this huge thing. And he says, I can't guarantee that none of those things will happen, but if you try to coast through life not feeling anything good, just so you don't have to feel anything bad, that's no way to live. And Dawson's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Oliver. That's like the first normal thing you've said since I've met you.
Way to come in with the knowledge.
I was like, maybe this is normal, Oliver.
So Dawson, yeah, not one who's trying, not the try hard Oliver.
Yeah, not the fucking weirdo Oliver. And Dawson says, I really want to direct your film. Oliver says, okay. And then Dawson thanks him. And Oliver's like, you're welcome. And then Dawson's like, well, why aren't you directing the movie? And Oliver's like, well, you know the character Gavin? I want to play him. And Dawson's like, wait, what? And then he like chases after Oliver and the episode ends.
I said, and then cue end credits. I don't
want to wait. Next episode is episode 14, Guerrilla Filmmaking. I watched the opening of it and I slightly remembered it. So
yeah. I don't know. This season, I don't remember too much. So
I have to be honest with you. I really remember loving these last two seasons, but I don't remember any of this.
Do you love how that happens?
Yeah, I must have like just kind of just had it on at that point. But I remember liking it because we did extra work during this season. And I, you know, obviously want to see how it played out. But
right.
I don't know. I don't remember all of this. Like, I vaguely remember this episode. So, but yeah, that was the episode. Final thoughts, Jamie?
I'm happy to see that we're actually making some progress in the storyline for this season, because it's been a little bit dry. So we've finally gotten some action. We've gotten, you know, some like Jack's got to make a decision on what he's doing with this house. Joey just entered this weird, you know, awkward situation with her professor, and Jen's got her mojo back, and Dawson's about to start doing film again. So we've got some progression, and I'm excited to see it. And it looks like the next episode, Pacey and Audrey finally hook up. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
The only reason why I know that is because the next episode was paused on my screen. And it's just like, you know how they have like a snapshot of some scene in the episode? It's of those two making out. So spoiler alert.
I didn't watch it yet.
20 year later, spoiler alert, you know.
I don't need to be spoiled.
We all need to be spoiled. How about you, Steven? How did you feel about this episode?
I agree with you. I like that we are moving along with story, and Joey's actually doing something other than pining over Dawson again. I was enjoying the connection that we were seeing between her and Pacey, but I'm kind of excited to see her go through something as serious as like dating your professor. So, because they did sort of like let us know that that was a potential storyline that was going to happen, because the two of them were
the closer these two have gotten, we're like, okay, something's going to happen. Whether it sticks or not, we don't know. I vaguely remember there being an instance at his house on the couch, but it doesn't go anywhere and she leaves, I think. But I don't know. It's been a while.
I don't remember either. But I also like that Dawson's going to be making a movie with another film geek. And I'm looking forward to more Pacey stuff. Like, I really think this is Pacey's season a lot. I like his, like, redemption arc where he's, like, finding himself. I said this before. I love that he's finding himself, and he's like a man now.
Me too. And he's somebody that, like, they can turn to. I am really excited for the next couple of steps. I loved that he's doing this cooking thing, and, you know, he's becoming a chef, and I love that. All supportive for men who like to be in the kitchen. Like, I love it. But also, I know that he starts to do another job where it's a, I don't know, he starts to make better money, but like I'm happy for him. I really like the steps that he's taking to become the person he will be towards the end of the show, where he is a business owner. He has his own restaurant, which I think is right at the alley where he should be, instead of this weird, like he takes like a detour, does this other thing for a bit, and eventually that like makes a lot of money and then it falls through. But he finds his way back into the restaurant business. And I really love that for him. So I'm really excited to get to revisit that. I love the Pacey storyline, and I'm happy to see him glow up.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope that we just get better Jack stuff, because they're giving him something, but at the same time, he's so pouty. I can't stand it. Like, give him a fucking...
Yeah, he gets out of it, and I... Give him a what?
Give him a boyfriend.
Well, I know that, like, he does eventually move back into the house with Grams and Jen, and he starts to actually go through guys the way people go through underwear. So I think he's gonna kind of get into a groove, and then he's gonna get better. You know what I'm a little bit disappointed about, like, thinking about the story as a whole? By the last episode, we find out that Jack gets with Doug. But we never get any, like, substance on how that even occurs.
No,
and it makes me a little bit sad.
It was supposed to be like I don't know. Like
they just fast forward in time, and then, you know, Jen has a baby, and then the whole thing with Jen happens, and then, you know, Doug and Jack end up raising the baby together. And I'm like, wait. When did these two even become a thing? Like, I mean, I get it. We fast forward in time. Everybody's grown and, you know, whatever. But, like, I would have loved to have seen that, like, arc. Like, I want to see at least some type of growth, but instead of just being like, oh, those two are together. Oh, this happened. Oh, what? Like, I don't know.
I feel like it was just a way for Kevin Williamson to come back and sort of, like, give a ending story to everybody. And since Doug was such
I'm not knocking it, I loved it.
No, I know what you're saying, but I feel like it was just like, you know, Doug was such a questionable character with his sexuality the whole series, and they were like, it was obvious Doug's gay, and they're like, we're just gonna give him a partner, and that's gonna be Jack. So it'll be like something amazing for the viewers to love.
They both get the happy ending, and and they're all keeping it together in the family. It's kind of funny if you think about it, because Pacey was dating Jack's sister. Now Jack is dating Pacey's brother.
Yeah, that's oh, that's so funny.
Isn't that funny?
I still do think that they were showing definite, like, giving us vibes of Jack and Doug during Pacey's birthday episode last season. So I really do think that they were sort of trying to, like, give us some sort of Easter egg there. I don't know.
I kind of wish I was paying closer attention. I don't remember.
Shocker.
I know.
All right. Well, before we log off, I'm going to read a 5-star rating from Apple. You ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
This is from JDog82. Wait, what is that, Randy? From American Idol. It's a no for me, dog. It's a little pitchy, dog, for American Idol. He wrote, so J-Dog, I'm assuming it's a guy, one of my favorite podcasts. This is a fun podcast. It feels like you are hanging out with friends. Steven is witty and adorable.
Oh, I love it. You're adorable and witty.
Jamie is very knowledgeable and funny, too. They have a great vibe together. Highly recommend you binge watch Dawson's Creek and listen to this podcast. You'll have a blast. Also, I love the intro song. Whoever wrote it must be a musical genius because it's so catchy. Oh my God. I have to tell Justin. That's so funny.
Yes, you have to tell Justin. That's awesome.
Oh my God. Well, thank you, JDog82, for that.
I love it.
Review. That's hilarious.
For real.
That's so many fun reviews or emails and stuff from our listeners, but that was really funny.
It was awesome, and I really love how much people love our intro jingle. Like, it's so popular now.
Happy hard time.
Singing it on the phone.
I know the happy hard time guys always tell me, like, they sing it around the house, or it's so funny. I'll listen to their podcast and they'll start singing it, especially Tim. I'll be like, creep, talk, talk.
I love it.
So funny. Well, leave us.
Talked about Dawson's Creek.
Well, if you want to leave us a 5-star rating or review, you can go to Apple Podcasts and do that for us. It's totally free. And you can leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify. It helps us so much if you do that. So we would greatly appreciate it. But Jamie, I think we can end the episode. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at jlyn_booklover.
Beautiful.
Well, thanks.
And if you want to follow us, you can find us on Instagram at Creek Talk Podcast and the same name on Threads. And we are on Twitter at Creek Talk Pod. And we also have a Facebook group. If you want to send us any type of feedback or a story you want us to read on the next episode, you can send that to creektalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support us monetarily, you can join our Patreon, where we are currently recapping the 2002 Kevin Williamson series, Glory Days. Go join at the $5 tier, and you have early access to our episodes, as well as our exclusive bonus content, which is Glory Days, as well as the one and only season of Young Americans. So
Not to mention, you get a lot of our unedited stuff, guys. So be prepared for tangents and bloopers.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's stuff in those that I just don't put in the regular episodes. And I hope the people that are patrons that are listening appreciate it.
Our content is long, but we will keep you laughing the whole time. Hopefully, most of the time, maybe. We hope so. That's the goal, right? Yeah.
Just go click on our link trees in any of our bios and you'll find everything over there. But for now, thank you for listening. We hope everybody has a great weekend. And just, you know, be happy. Just love one another. Just don't call each other baby, because that's weird.
It's not that weird, guys. You're fine. Steven is just anti-love.
Don't call gay guys chicks. That's just rude.
Yeah, that is rude.
All right, we'll be back next week with an all new episode of Creek Talk Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
God, Jamie, you're such a guy.
Oh my God, stop being such a woman. You just can't.
I will.
Okay, good.